So, Christopher, I'd like to walk down memory lane if you would like here.
Oh, I love memory lane.
So, man, we kind of talked about this on the side. I don't think we've ever talked about this like on the podcast, but man, we lived in a very interesting era, and kids these days won't understand, and neither do some older generations than us, the millennials. So I want to talk about the fun little times we had with online gaming, like internet games. Like I'm talking like the little Flash Player games. You know what I'm talking about? Like the ones we used to kill
Oh yeah, those
time
were.
at school with. Like you weren't supposed to, but so Chris, I was thinking about it today. Like I don't know if you've ever had this happen. You'd be sitting at work and I'm just like, name five different websites that you used to play those stupid games on. And here's the five that I came up with. I know you know GameSloth. Did you ever play Newgrounds? Did you ever go on there?
No, I never played Newgrounds.
Newgrounds was kind of interesting because it was like, I don't know, it was almost like SoundCloud before SoundCloud was there too. So you had like all these like really bad rappers and stuff on there. And then there was another one called Funnylicious. Did you ever go on that one?
No, I never played Funnylicious.
And so what was funny is it was like we had to get really creative because used to be you could just go on whatever website and it would be like, I remember there was like flashplayergames.com or whatever. But then my school system got really, kind of smart to the fact that, oh yeah, so anything that had games in the like website name, they took out. And so you had to be really creative. And that's where like Newgrounds and Funnylicious came up. And then there was like Miniclip. I don't know if you ever played Miniclip.
Oh yeah, Miniclip was a big one. Yeah, Miniclip was a big
Yeah,
one.
and then there was FOG, and we thought that was good because it was called like Full of Games or something like that, but it was like they just called it FOG, so like nobody knew what you were talking about. But I was thinking about some of the games that I played on there too. The one that I played like a ton on there was Mini Putt. Do you ever play that like Mini Putt Putt game on there?
Yes, I played that game.
I don't know why I played that so much. And then like on GameSloth, there was like Sonic the Hedgehog. They actually had Sonic the Hedgehog on there. I remember like playing like full Sonic things
The one I
on
remember,
there.
you know this, there was Bush Shootout, George W. Bush Shootout, and then there was
Bush
George
Shootout.
W. Bush Shootout 2. So you would play as George W. Bush in the first one. It was the fact that the terrorists had infiltrated the Oval Office, and so you were behind your desk, like trying to shoot people with a shotgun, and then if you got past a certain level, you get Colin Powell as your ally, and then in Bush Shootout 2,
It was
you were with
Condoleezza Rice.
it was Condoleezza Rice, but then it was also
Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth.
Oh yeah, it was Queen Elizabeth. I do remember that now. That's like if you got onto the street. Like I think it was like Queen Elizabeth. That's crazy. And then the one that I also remember too was there was Driver's Ed and Driver's Ed 2.
I remember I was like, I can't pick the very attractive driving instructor. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Jessica. Jessica was like the really attractive one. There was like all the rest of them were like old ugly dudes, and then there's like this really no, I think there was like one old ugly lady too, but it was like old ugly people, and then there was like this really attractive driver, and that's who I always picked, bro. You know what's wild about the end of that game, dude? They literally gave 15% discounts to like Driver's Ed with like codes at the end of that if you passed it. You remember that? That was kind of funny. Nice trip down memory lane. I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast.
It's another week, bro. Another great week. And guess what? It's spooky season. Ooh, Halloween's this week.
Yeah, you know what I'm gonna
Ooh.
do? I'm the guy. I'm gonna turn down my shades and I'm not gonna answer my door. But then again, I live in an apartment complex, so it normally works out for me. I don't know. Are you having to do something? I bet you're having to do some sort of party or something.
No, I will actually be traveling towards your neck of the woods on that day.
Hey, that works. But anyways, yeah, glad to have everybody there, and happy Halloween to all of you who celebrate it. We got an excellent episode today, and man, are you ready to get right into it?
Let's hop in.
We got the old-fashioned donut, which is a story from our past. So we've kind of talked about this in talking about other stories and things like that, but we used to. We've went through this course and then we helped out with this course for a long time. It was called Financial Peace University, and it was run by this man named Dave Ramsey. I don't know if his full name is David, but David Ramsey, I don't know. Anyways, he preached about being debt free and all this other stuff. And Chris, I'm going to have you tell about your experience a little bit, then I'll go into mine.
Yeah, so Dave Ramsey does this program called Financial Peace University, and it's very widely used by churches, and it's still used by some churches today, and it's about how to get out of debt, how to live like a debt-free life, and all that good stuff. And so I think I remember going through the junior version of it, and it was really talking about how to save, how to spend, just different practices for high school. But the crazy part about it is when I went through it, I had already had a job, and so I already knew about like saving, spending, all that good stuff, because my dad had went over that stuff with me. But yeah, so I remember it was very highly encouraged to take, and Micah's parental units actually became a teachers and facilitators of this course. But Micah has a little bit more in-depth story of how Financial Peace University really affected his family.
So, you know, I went through this thing, I'm trying to think back, I think it was like 7 or 8 times. Like the regular course of it, mainly because I had to work it. And so anytime you have to work with it, you have to go through the course. And there's all these main principles and things like that. But I'll tell you, like, fast forward a little bit. Like, the class was interesting. You know, it talked about, you know, how to handle your credit. It even went into a lot of things with insurance and things like that. But, you know, overall, it wasn't incredibly great because the knowledge that I had, so I always went on the idea of, okay, I'm not going to have any debt because that's what Dave Ramsey in this program has taught me to do. And so after I got out on my own, it was kind of interesting because, you kind of come to figure out, okay, you do need a credit score and you do need a good one in order to do anything. Like, basically, I had a hard time getting my first apartment because I had no credit at all. Like, I had no credit score for them to check, and I'd never had a place on my own to live before. So it was like, yeah, I had the income, but, and not to mention, like, the income was like, I just moved there. So it was like a job that I just got too. So it was all kind of whatever. So I had to get like a guarantor because I had no credit. And so at that point I was like, you know, I should probably start building credit. And, I mean, it was even things like I rented a car at that time and they like pulled my credit score and they were like, oh yeah, we can't rent you a car because you don't have a credit score. Like, it's crazy, like, sometimes, especially when you're beneath 25, like, they'll do stuff like that. And so, my first idea, because of this course and, like, not understanding what was going on, I took out a credit card. It had a $500 limit. And I remember, like, I thought in order to prove your credit and, like, improve your credit score, basically, you max the card out, right? And then you pay it off, like, all at once. So, like, you put, you know, $500 on it completely, and then you pay it off completely. And yeah, that wasn't working out. And I was wondering why my credit started going down after a while. It's because it's like, yeah, because you keep maxing it out and keep doing that. But beyond the lessons that learned over there, man, it was like, it almost became culty in my household because like they started like quoting Dave Ramsey, and then there was like this other guy who I don't think was he affiliated or was he like along the same lines.
He was just kind of like a guest that he would have on every night.
And like I think it was mainly just to front his book, but there was another dude named John Acuff, and it was like, oh my gosh, it was like that was all you they wanted to talk about and all they wanted to do. And like, don't get me wrong, being out of debt is great, and like if you can live that kind of life, but the thing was, these principles, yeah, they might have worked in the 90s, but now it's a lot different. And so I think for me,
they definitely don't work in 2024.
No, no. And
some of them do, but a lot of them are like, hey, you just need to pay cash for a house, or you don't need any credit cards. You don't need any credit. You should pay cash for your car, like all that. That doesn't work.
Like, part of the thing, too, and part of the principles that they were teaching, essentially, is, like, if you're in a lot of debt, the best way to do it is, like, okay, you stop paying some people, you double up on your biggest debts, and it's called the debt snowball. Like, you have the biggest ones, and then you go all the way to the smallest. But basically, part of the principles are, like, you call your creditors and say, hey, you know, I'm not going to pay you this month, or next month, actually, and you go and pay somebody else until you have the money enough to pay them off completely, or something like that. That way, you avoid the interest and all this other stuff. But at the same time, like, it ruins your credit, and the whole point is, it's like, well, you're not going to care about credit because you're not going to be living for credit anyways, which just does not work. I mean, again, it ruins your credit, and then you basically have to build up for the next few years in order to make that happen. But so went through that program, went through it enough times to where, like, everything was just kind of power lines when they would teach about it from then on in. I think, you know, beyond all the craziness that happened there and kind of how it affected, well, I guess I can also go back to this too. So how my parental units got into it as well, they went through the program through another church. So they went to another church, they like went through it. They really bit into it hard, as you can tell, like to the point where we had, I think, 2 or 3 yard sales, something like that, and, like, sold a ton of stuff, like, majority of what we had. And, like, the mantra that they had was, like, beans and rice and beans. Like, that's all we're going to freaking eat. And that's pretty much what happened. Like, it was rice and beans and Rotel. And, like, that's kind of how we lived there for a little bit. And then there was another period in time where, like, during that course of time, like, we kind of not just sold everything, but we packed up the house. I don't remember why. It was like, okay, I think we're going to move to Texas or something. I don't remember. It was kind of a short period of time, but we packed everything up and we had things in boxes. And, dude, do you remember that plastic camp?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Like, table and chairs, but it was like a picnic bench, but it like folded up. It was like green. You remember that one? Dude, I remember, like, eating dinner on that for a little while, like, while everything was packed up. Literally, we had everything packed up. We sold a bunch of stuff. And then finally, they get out of debt, and, or at least they said that. I have no clue if that actually happened or not, but, like, end up getting out of debt. And then after that, it's like, okay, now we're going to teach this course to other people. And so it was just kind of, I don't know. And, you know, there was a lot of added things that my parental units kind of added to it. Like, I don't know. They had this whole thing where one of the biggest things that Dave Ramsey wanted you to do was, like, cut up your credit cards. Like, once you, like, kind of making that pledge of, like, yeah, I'm not going to use the credit card anymore. And, like, you know, I'm getting out of debt with this card. And so, like, I remember they had these big scissors and, like, they would freaking cut these things up and they would, like, have this music pumping and stuff.
Well, they would make people come up to the front to cut up their credit card. So it was a public spectacle. Yeah, it was a public spectacle. And I was kind of like, that's kind of culty a little bit.
Yeah, it all did have a pretty culty feel to it. And pretty much you still meet, you know, not talking mess on these people, but, like, you still meet some Dave Ramsey people and, like, they still kind of act like that culty of, like, oh, you're not a part of that, or, oh, you're not debt free. They, like, judge you hard for it. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty crazy. But I don't know, man, that whole experience was interesting. Now, the fun parts of that experience, going through it as many times as we did, Chris and I got to run sound for a lot of it. And so basically what we would do is we would set it up, the little videos, and we would let the video play, and we knew when to come back in there to either, you know, hit pause and, like, play again when they had to do a little activity or whatever. And we'd go play basketball. We'd go play basketball. We'd go shoot some hoops, and then we'd come back, and, like, we would end up chilling because it's just like, bro, we ain't gonna hear all this stuff all over again.
Yeah, and at the end of the year, they had this party, and so they had food catered for it, and somehow we didn't get food, and we were like, so at the end of the time, there was this one time, I don't know whose idea it was, but Micah and I were like, well, we're not getting food out of this, so let's ask people if they'd like to donate some tips for our services. So we went around to people, were like, would you like to donate a tip to the tech team for being with you guys since we're not going to get to get any food? And we got in trouble for asking for, because people actually started giving us money. They felt bad.
No, they kind of, I remember this one lady, she kind of made it this public deal. She was like, yo, everybody give them money because they've been here every single week helping. And it was just like, okay. And I remember my male parental unit come up there. No, they're not taking any money. And I'm just like, listen, we're already up to like $20. Leave us alone. We got this covered. It's like all these people are out of debt. They're happy. And they got a loose grip on their money right now. It's like we're trying to go get a Taco 12 pack from Taco Bell. Because that was our freaking life's goal, was like, hey, if we can go get some dinner and split six tacos and six tacos, like, we'll be good.
My dad actually went through the program. And I remember, like, I don't remember how or when, but it was like later on. It was probably when I was a junior or a senior. I don't remember, because we did this several times. So it was probably a year. And oh, dude, we need to tell them about one of the class members. I think, I don't know if your male parental unit had something going on with her on the side, but every week after class, she would go up and talk to him and was flirting with him.
For a long time, bro. And the reason being is because he was my ride home. Like, most of the time, that was like, I had to wait on them because they were like my ride home, unless like Chris would like take me or whatever. But at the same time, he was going to his house, which was kind of, you know, in the opposite direction. So it's like waiting on him, bro. She would talk to him for like 30, 45 minutes, be like flirting and all this other stuff, to the point where we gave her a nickname, Teacher's Pet. And it was because, bro, she would just go and talk about everything. And she was like this freshly divorced lady, too. Mm. It's like, I got my theories.
And so, yeah, if you're part of Dave Ramsey, like, no shame in the game, no judgment at all. But if you're hardcore into Dave Ramsey, like, it's crazy. And what the crazy thing now is, like, you watch him and he berates people. Like, it's almost, it's not like a, hey, this is hard and you need to hear some truth. He straight up embarrasses people. Like, he gets kicks and giggles out of berating people. And from the stories that I've heard, he does that to his...
Oh, yeah. Like, he's had several lawsuits from his staff because, like, he demands of them different things. Like, there was one lady that sued him because he fired her because she wasn't a godly enough woman to work there and all this other stuff. And it was, like, all this really judgmental stuff. One last thing on it, too. So I was actually going to flight school. And, you know, I went into debt doing it and all this other stuff. And beforehand, I actually called into a show because he's got a radio show. And basically, that's what happens. People ask, you know, their financial situation, like, hey, here's what's going on. How do I get out of this? Or, like, what do I do? And so my main question was, because at the time, my male parental unit was like, oh, yeah, we're not going to do your school with any sort of debt, but wouldn't help me pay for any of it. So I was like, okay, how can I go to flight school without getting into some sort of student loan or debt situation, right? And so I remember calling his show, and they vet everything. Like, it's not like you just call in while he's on air and they go, yep, your next caller on whatever. It's not like a sports cast, right? I've done that before where you call in and they, like, let you right on the show. No, they, like, vet you. And so, basically, you leave a voicemail for them, a 1 to 2 minute voicemail about what you're calling about, like, what your situation is, and basically, they'll call you back if that's something that interests Dave to talk about or get into. And so my whole thing was like, yeah, so it's going to cost me $65,000 in less than a year to go through flight school. But, like, that's what I need to do in order to get to the career that I want to get into. It's like, I don't know how, because I don't make $60,000 in a year. And even if I did, you know, you have to pay bills and everything else. So, like, how can I do this without going into debt? And, like, nobody ever called me back. Like, nobody ever called me back.
Probably good. It's probably good that they didn't call you back. But, well, we're going to head into our next segment, which is the Jelly Donut, and that's the jail report.
We didn't get Private Pile! Sir, Jelly Donut, sir! A Jelly Donut!
And, Micah, we have actual jail reports on this segment. I know we had some 2 weeks ago, but we actually have The jelly donut. So I don't. What was the? Was it Tyreek Hill that got arrested before while he was on the way to the game?
Yeah, it was. There was. Well, there was him. And there was somebody else too that was on Miami that got arrested, but mainly him.
Yeah. So we have another famous athlete that got arrested while on the way to their sports event, but this was actually a PGA golfer.
Oh, you're talking about Scotty?
Yeah. So for those that don't know, this was in Louisville, Kentucky, and Scotty Scheffler was arrested outside the golf club on the Friday morning, hours before his second round tee time. The incident stemmed from a misunderstanding of traffic flow, and early in the morning, a shuttle bus fatally struck a pedestrian outside the golf course, leading police to stop traffic. So Scotty Scheffler was confused about the flow of traffic, so he got pulled over, and the police officer attempted to attach himself to Scheffler's car. And Scheffler then stopped his vehicle at the entrance to the golf club. The police officer then began to scream at Scheffler to get out of the car. When Scheffler exited the vehicle, the officer shoved Scheffler against the car and immediately placed him in handcuffs, and he was being detained in the back of the police car. The police officer who made the arrest did not seem to know who Scheffler was, nor did they know like that there was other stuff going on. And one officer asked the guy if he was Scheffler's manager or agent, adding, "There's nothing you can do. He's going to jail." He gets arrested, and then he gets out, and after the misunderstanding, and then goes and plays his round of golf. So, I think he was pretty lighthearted about it. I know they made some jokes about it, but what do you think of that? Do you think the police officer's right? Do you think Scotty Scheffler was right? Like, what do you think about that?
Well, there's another piece to it. I don't know if you've seen the body cam footage from the police officer. The police officer was being a jerk. Like, I really understand where Scotty was coming from. Like, I think Scotty handled it pretty well, actually, because he was nice to the guy. Like, he was firm in saying, like, "Hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm trying to do." But, like, at the same time, I don't know. The cop was just being a jerk for no reason. Like, he was kind of throwing his authority around. And so, that was the other thing. Apparently, I think he knew he was going to get out pretty quickly, because there's like video of him stretching in a cell, pretty much like stretching out for his round of golf. But could you imagine that? You know, you're in a jail cell, and then a few hours later, you're teeing off in a professional golf outing. Like, that's got to be kind of a crazy feeling. Like, I don't know, but no, I don't think Scotty was at fault. I think that it was definitely the cop who was trying to throw their weight around, for sure.
Yeah, and especially if there's a confusion with traffic flow, like, sometimes you're like, I'm not sure, like, where I'm supposed to go, because sometimes they don't make it clear, and so I get it. But yeah, if the guy was being a jerk, then he definitely should not have thrown his weight around like that. So next one, this, and the rest of these are from our favorite state of Florida. Thank you, Florida, for being so open about your arrest stories. So this guy was driving in Florida behind this guy named Mr. Sturgeon. Out of nowhere, Mr. Sturgeon stops in the middle of the road, but here's the thing. This wasn't some Florida road rage situation at first. The driver behind Mr. Sturgeon was actually being nice. He gave Sturgeon a compliment, saying, "Yo, nice car, bro. I really like your car." That's it. That's all the man did. Instead of just taking the compliment, Mr. Sturgeon hopped out of his car and punched the other guy in the face. I watched the video footage, and it definitely looked like roid rage, because the guy who punched him in the face definitely looked like he was on steroids. But, like, could you imagine just giving a guy a compliment, like, "Hey, I really like your car," and then you get punched in the face for it?
Yeah, so you said you watched the video. It wasn't one of those situations of, like, somebody's, like, taunting the guy, like, "Hey, nice car," or something like that. Like, he was legitimately complimenting?
No, like, it was legitimately, yeah, like, in his tone, you could hear, okay, it. You could, yeah, hear that he was,
I guess,
sincere.
That's wild, dude. You just be nice to somebody, they come and punch you in the face. So I guess, you know, since it's the jail report, I guess he had charges pressed against him and all. That's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, man, don't be punching people just because they give you a compliment to your car.
All right. This next one. Miss Enders and Mr. Jones were arrested and charged with forgery or alteration of a lottery ticket with the intent to defraud passing that state lottery ticket and larceny grand theft of $100,000 or more. Okay. So Miss Enders came into possession of a quote-unquote winning lottery ticket and tried to claim her winnings, but it actually wasn't a winning lottery ticket at all, according to officials. The lottery ticket in question from the 500X cash scratch-off game displayed obvious alterations, deputies said. Apparently, it was two separate scratch-off tickets that had been taped together. So when they claimed it, they faced legal consequences. So, of course, you have to present the ticket, and then it was deemed to be a non-winner. So approximately a few weeks later, Miss Enders contacted the Florida Lottery for an update and asked us to meet a special agent at the lottery office where she and her boyfriend, Mr. Jones, were detained and separated for investigation. The special agent explained that the ticket was fraudulently pieced together, and Miss Enders at first did not remember where she had purchased it, but said that the ticket had gotten ripped and wet in the rain while trying to scratch it. She maintained that she was confused about how the two tickets didn't match, even though they were clearly pieced together.
So they tried to do the little duct tape maneuver, the two-sided tape maneuver, and they got caught. And what it sounded like is okay, they had this fraudulent ticket. They're going to send it in to get it verified or whatever, right? They probably do at the gas station that it was fraudulent, because isn't lottery, like, if it's over a certain amount, you have to go to, like, a state office or something, right? Like, there's some... You don't just, like, go to the gas station. I think it's, like, if it...
Well, no, that's what they did. She tried to, like, redeem it, and they told her to go to the state lottery office. And then when she did, they said, hey, like, this is fraudulent. We can tell.
But, like, so I guess when she called back to, like, check in 2 weeks later, that's when they're like, all right, well, if you want to come in, like, we'll go ahead and detain you then. So she wouldn't have called back, and she might have just... They might have let it go, you think?
Yeah, probably. But even if the story was true about how the ticket had gotten ripped and wet in the rain, if you piece it back together, you could tell, hey, this is part of the same ticket. So
yeah, no, I think it was probably a bad con job. That's what it sounds like, for sure.
Yep. So this last one, and you guys know how we love our arrest stories where people assault each other with food.
Yes. Those are always so funny.
You know, my favorite was the McChicken story.
Yeah,
I don't know why that was so funny. All right. And this one is, I wouldn't say it's as funny as the McChicken story, but it's pretty funny. And again, assault and battery, even when it's with food, is never okay. So, but the circumstances are funny. So, a Florida man was taken to jail after he threw spaghetti sauce at his mother during an argument at their home over the weekend. Mr. Fiacco was arrested in St. Petersburg, Florida, on charges of battery and resisting an officer without violence. The police officers were called around 8 p.m., and after an argument turned physical, they said that Fiacco doused his mother with spaghetti sauce, which was found in her hair. There's not any description of what they were arguing about, but he assaulted her with spaghetti sauce.
Oh, man. So was it like Prego, Ragu? Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know, man.
Oh, man.
But apparently, like, after he did it, he ran away from the house, so they had to, like, track him down, and that's why he got the resisting arrest.
It's like, listen, I'm calling the police. Oh, gosh, I got to get out of here. I can't be caught assault with a pasta sauce. Can't have all that.
Do you remember on our very first episode when we talked about the lady who shoved hot sauce down her kid's throat and made him eat it?
Yeah, as a punishment. Tabasco's. Was it Tabasco sauce? Yeah, I think it was Tabasco sauce. It was a hot sauce. It was crazy.
That wraps up the jelly donut. You got to love our arrest stories, man, and especially in Florida where things get crazy. So, yeah. I think we're going to transition into our donut hole, which is usually when we play a game. And, of course, we're going to play a game this week because Micah and I were supposed to watch movies again, and I failed on my part, so I will hit y'all up the next time because I did not complete my assignment. So, a little honesty there. All right, now this quiz, and this will be multiple choice, so you're not going to have to guess on your own, but The name of this quiz is Insider Wrestling Terms. So kind of terms that they use in the business to describe certain things. And we're going to see how good you are at guessing. Now, I've only given you three choices versus four. So you have a 1 in 3 chance of getting this right. I'm going to start off with a couple of softball ones, okay? What does the term babyface mean? Does it mean A, a wrestler who paints their face, B, the cameraman, or C, a good guy or hero in wrestling?
Good guy or hero.
That is correct. Number two, what does heel mean? A, a type of wrestling boot, B, a bad guy or villain in wrestling, or C, the manager of a wrestler?
It's a bad guy.
That is a bad guy. A, 2 for 2. There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Number three, what does spot mean? Spot, S-P-O-T. A, a designated place for the wrestlers to stand. B, a commercial. Or C, a coordinated move in wrestling.
I would say a coordinated move.
Yes, it's a coordinated move. So if you say, hey, I'm going up to the top rope and then I'm going to do a frog splash, that's called a spot. So good job.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Number four, what does a work mean? A match, B, something in wrestling that's planned or scripted, or C, a time-limited match.
And what was the term again?
Work.
I'm going to go with A.
It's actually B, something in wrestling that's planned or scripted. So if they say something is a work, that means okay, that it was planned or it's not real. Number five, what does a shoot mean? A shoot, like shooting a gun, like that word. All right, A, something in wrestling that is unplanned or real. B, a videotape promo, or C, a commercial.
I'm going to say a promo.
It's actually something in wrestling that is unplanned or real. So if someone says, hey, I'm shooting on this person, it means that it really happened for real. Like, hey, that guy really slapped me in the face. Or, hey, that guy really doesn't like this guy. And they're not just playing. Number six, what does it mean if someone is quote-unquote going over? A, they are getting thrown over the top rope. B, they're entering in from a different part of the stadium than the main entrance. Or C, someone is winning the match.
They're entering from a different part.
It's actually C, someone is winning the match. So if they say, hey,
okay,
hey, Rock, you're going over, that means you're winning the match. Number seven, you might be able, I think you might be able to get this just from the choices. What does it mean if wrestlers are quote-unquote calling it in the ring? A, they decide to punch each other as hard as they can for real. B, they wait until they are in the ring to decide which moves they're going to use. Or C, they decide at what point of the show they want to have their match.
I'm going to say B.
It is B. Yeah, it's kind of like improv, right? They're just like, hey, we're just going to do this on the fly. You got three more questions here. Which term is used when a match goes really bad? We stepped in dog crap. B, we left the gate open. Or C, we crapped the bed.
Left the gate open, I say.
It's actually C, we crapped the bed, which
okay.
The real term is the other word for crap, but I can't say that because this is a family.
Okay. Yeah. Family friendly show.
Number nine. What is the term used for someone whose main role is to lose matches just to make other people look good? A workhorse, B, a jobber, or C, a rodeo clown?
I don't know why. I want to say rodeo clown. I don't know why.
It's actually B, a jobber. And that's kind
a jobber, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like a negative term in wrestling.
So pretty much The Miz. That's who we're talking about.
Yeah, that's basically what The Miz is, dude. Like, and that's why if you get called a jobber, it means, hey, you're just a yes man who's going to do whatever they tell you. Number 10, what is the definition of a dark match? A, a match done in the pitch black dark and the first one who gets pinned wins. B, a match that is before or after a televised show, so a match that doesn't get put on TV. Or C, a match where the babyface gets beat up by bad guys for the whole match.
Ooh, I'm going to say B. I'm going to say B.
You are correct. Yeah, a dark match is one that either happens before or after the match and it doesn't get televised. So usually, in most wrestling shows, if it's on TV, they'll do a dark match before, and then they'll do a dark match after, and they'll make sure that the good guy wins and everybody leaves the show happy, even if it doesn't get put on TV. So something bad may happen at the end of, quote-unquote, the televised show, but then after that, then there's a dark match.
Heck yeah. Okay.
Well, you did pretty good, man. Some of those are kind of easier to figure out, like, just with context.
Some of them are more interesting than others, but I don't know. Some of them are like, they'll lead you astray with the way they sound, but
yeah, it's kind of like, oh, like, I didn't know what that means. Like, a shoot, I could be like, oh, yeah, that's a promo. Like, if I didn't know what that meant, it's like, but cool that you did pretty good, but other than what we talked about at the beginning of the show, Dave Ramsey, what else fries your donuts?
Oh, Dave Scamsey. Nah, man, I'll tell you this much, and I know you worked in this industry for a while. The grocery store experience fries my donuts, man. People lose their freaking minds. Like, maybe it's not so much the grocery store experience as in the people around you experience in a grocery store. Like, I don't know why, man. People lose their minds. I went into the grocery store, and I'll be real with you. I've been kind of spoiled because of COVID. And I know that sounds kind of bad, but like, you know, everybody everywhere now, including grocery stores, you can have curbside pickup. And so a lot of times that's what you do is I just shop online. And when it comes time, I just pull up to the grocery store and have them loaded in the back for me. And I don't even see the inside of the grocery store. But this week I decided, you know what, like I haven't gone grocery shopping for a while. They were running some good deals like in the store that you can only get in the store. So like, you know what, might as well go in there. And mind you, I went on Wednesday at 4 o'clock p.m., so 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And, okay, Mr. former grocery store man, would you say that Wednesday afternoon is typically a high time or, like, just afternoons period, kind of like after people get off of work?
I would say it just depends on what's going on, like if it's kind of around a holiday. I would say afternoon on a Wednesday is, it's not a dead time, but it's not a highly busy. So I'd say it would land right in the middle, probably a moderate time.
Well, first things first, man, it was like what I can't stand and what I've noticed about people, and I forgot about this, and this is bad at Walmart, this is bad anywhere. I went to a different grocery store, but have you noticed that people will wait until they get into the door frame, right? They will get into the door frame, and then they will stop. And they'll be like, you know what, let me make sure that I've got everything. Let me make sure that I got these coupons that I came in here with. And, like, they'll stand in the doorway to where now you can't get around them. And you're going, couldn't you, like, step off to the side where all the grocery carts are and everything else? Like, can't you, like, take two steps forward to get out of our way? Like, I had that happen twice. Like, people just standing in the doorway, like, fumbling around in their purse. And it's just like, bro, there are people behind you. What's going on? And so then you get in there. Something that I don't like, this grocery store that I go to here, it's a little bit newer, and it has a lot of stuff, which is good. The only bad part about having a lot of stuff is they make the aisles a lot narrower because they have to fit everything in there. And so for me, I always feel like I'm in people's way, and other people feel like they're in my way. And I don't know about you, but like in a long period of time, like that just bothers me after a while. It's just like always feeling like, you know, you're in somebody's way or somebody's in your way to where you're like trying to get something. Cause you're standing in this aisle and like this person's trying to look over you. You're trying to look over them. And like, it's this whole freaking mess.
There's always someone standing in the right spot where
the exact
you need
right
that
spot.
Thing. I promise you, no matter how the exact, it's not like a few, it's always right in the exact spot that you need it.
And you're just like, I wish I could reach through you to freaking get what I need to get and put it in the cart. And not to mention, so like, you know, it's not just people traffic that I'm talking about. We, because of COVID, what we talk about, it's a two-edged sword. If you go into the stores, now you have all the personal shoppers, right? Or like the people who are getting people's orders ready. And so they're now like filling the aisles with stuff and they're trying to do it quickly as well. So they're trying to zip in and out of there on top of you got all the people who are going slower than crap. Not to mention, then you have like the couples who are in there who like aren't shopping for anything, I don't think. They're just like walking around, just like hugging each other, like doing that little waddle motion, like up and down the aisles. And you're just like, can you move out of my way? Because we're trying to actually get stuff. And so you got like all of that that goes on. But the biggest thing, man, is just nobody pays attention. Like the part that drives me nuts is nobody pays attention. I don't know if this is just me, but the unwritten rule in my mind is, you know, grocery stores are laid out a lot like highways. You know, you drive on the right-hand side of the aisle, right? And then, you know, you have your middle section, your median area. And my thing is, you have people who drive on the wrong side, right? And make everybody, like, move around them, one. Two, I see so many people, like, shooting through those median. Like, I almost hit so many people, and so many people almost hit me.
That's what I was going to tell you, bro. Like, have you noticed, like, when you're on a quest, when you are on a mission, there will be 5 million people that just pull out in front of you. Like, I
yes.
promise you, it's almost bad as driving in regular traffic. And not to mention, like, the grocery store parking lots are the worst. That's when people drive the absolute worst.
That was going to be my last point, was the grocery store parking lots, because they're freaking bad. Like, you always have to watch yourself because you almost get hit, like, as a pedestrian so many times. And then two, once you actually get in your car, it's like, man, nobody gives two craps if you're halfway out. Right? You could be halfway pulled out. Nobody cares. And, like, people will almost hit you, or, like, you'll be halfway out, and then all of a sudden you have to pull forward because you see the dude behind you is pulling out and is going to smack you if you don't pull in. And it's just like, bro, like, nobody cares. And not to mention, and maybe I'm just this guy, too, but, like, a lot of times in these parking lots, they have arrows of, like, okay, you're supposed to go this direction. Nobody follows that crap. You know what I mean? Like, nobody follows that. So you'll have people going the wrong way, doing this. Man, it's crazy. People just lose their minds, and people don't care. And as much as I say, like, okay, the benefit of COVID was, you know, being able to go and pick up things, it's like one of the negative parts is about COVID is I feel like people care less about, you know, in public situations, like at the grocery store.
Yeah, it's wild, dude. And I totally get that. I promise you, I'm in Walmart at least probably four times a week just because where our office is right next door. And so it's easy to pop over to Walmart. So I've gotten to the point where I can map it out and I can cut through different ways so I'm not on those main paths. But I totally get it. And the benefit is I have worked in a grocery store for a long time, so I do know where things are at quicker. But at the same time, dude, I try to avoid to going to the grocery store when it's busy, like on the weekends. If I can avoid it at all, I try to not go. But yeah, it's wild how selfish. I'm telling you, it's a quest. It is a challenge just to get out of the grocery store. And I don't like it. It makes me mad in all those points. Saying yes, like I if I have to go to the grocery store, I just want to get a couple things that I need. I know what I need. I don't want to have to shop, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, me neither. I like, even if you go in having a list, like that still could be a problem sometimes. And then what I don't like is, I know that you say that you can find things a lot easier sometimes, yeah, but like I don't know, my local grocery store, it's cool and everything, but the newer one that we've been going to, their layout is a lot different than the other one, and that's fine and dandy, but like they'll have things, like for instance, they'll have like Asian sauces and things like that, and like stir-fried noodles and things like that on one aisle, like Asian cuisine on one aisle, and then have like ramen noodles on the next aisle and not have that stuff together. It's kind of weird. It's like, okay, why not have those two things? You know what I mean? And so some stuff doesn't make sense. And while you're trying to figure it out, you got a million people around you too. And what's hard is you're looking around these people, like Chris said, they're always in the exact right place. And you're going, I got to be missing it somewhere because this is the section for it. And then you go around to the next one and go, oh, it was over here. Like, why in the heck is it over here for? Like, I don't know. It's a whole freaking thing. It's like, I'll be real with you. I think that'll probably be the last time I get overstimulated in a grocery store, like inside the grocery store. You know, if it's one or two things for sure, but like full grocery shopping to where it's like, you know, a 2-hour experience. Yeah, I don't think so, dude. That's a lot.
I'm going to tell you guys a little trick to the, and this does not work at all grocery stores, but I will give you just a general, for most grocery stores, this is how it goes. The condiments and the pastas and all that, those are usually in your first couple aisles. Then your middle aisles are like your cereals, your snacks, and then the higher you go, then it's like, okay, it's getting more to the non-food items. And then after the snacks, cereals, it's usually your soft drinks, your waters, your Gatorades, your juices, all that good stuff. And then you move to the detergent, the cleaning stuff. They intentionally put the milk and the meat in the back of grocery stores because they know that's what most people need when they're trying to shop. And so they want to put it at the back of the grocery store so that you pass by all the other stuff. Because most people are like,
all the
oh yeah, like, oh wow, impulse buys, right? Like that's what grocery stores are trying to do. So if they put the meat and the dairy up front, they wouldn't make any money at all, but that's why they put them in the back. So you have to pass through all of those different things where you're like, ooh, like here's a Snickers bar. Like I could grab that, or ooh, look, there's a new Lucky Charm cereal. Let's try that. Like, throw that in the thing. So it's intentionally mapped out strategically. But most of the time, that's kind of how the general layouts go.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I've noticed that with a lot of the layouts as well. So, yeah, totally makes sense, man. But I bet you're glad to not be in that industry. I wouldn't want to work in a grocery store. People are idiots in a grocery store. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I have stores. But that's a different time for a different day. But let's move on to something more positive, which is our mystery donut. And that's our improv segment. And it's game week. And Mike and I are playing one of our favorite games. Fortunately, unfortunately, let's do two scenarios, and I've got the first one.
Alrighty.
Since you were talking about your love of the grocery store so much, let's talk about going grocery shopping. Would you like to be fortunately or unfortunately?
Since I don't like it, I'm going unfortunately. I'll let you fortunately it.
Okay. All right, here we go. Fortunately, I have a lot of coupons, so I can save on groceries this week.
Unfortunately, most of them are expired because you haven't used them.
Fortunately, I at least got a cart with a good wheel, all four good wheels this time.
Which, that's something else that bothers me and fries my donuts. You never get a good cart at those places. I don't think they exist. Anyways, unfortunately, one of the wheels totally came off halfway through your shopping experience.
Fortunately, that's okay. There's an empty one right here, so I'm just going to take it.
Unfortunately, all four of those wheels are bad on the empty one.
Unfortunately, it's not like they have a shortage of carts, so I will probably go grab another one from the front.
Unfortunately, you sprained your ankle because the old cart threw off the balance in your ankle, however medically that works. And, yeah, so now you're hurting and don't want to walk any further than you have to.
Fortunately, since I got hurt on their property, I can now probably get money out of this.
Unfortunately, your lawyer says you have no case because you have no proof.
Fortunately, that's okay because these Apple Jacks are on sale so that I'm going to buy two boxes to make myself feel better.
Unfortunately, it's not the same Apple Jacks as it used to be because it doesn't have the Jamaican cinnamon guy on the
front. Fortunately, I don't like cultural appropriation, so I'm okay with it.
Unfortunately, everybody likes cultural... No, I'm joking. No, unfortunately, General Mills stopped making Apple Jacks, so you can't go and get it anymore.
Fortunately, I know that's a load of BS because that is one of their number one sellers is Apple Jacks.
Well, unfortunately, General Mills completely went out of business, so it doesn't matter if that was their top seller or not, because they went out of business.
Fortunately, General Mills is owned by an umbrella company, so they have plenty of other products, and I can always buy the generic Apple Jacks.
Oh, yeah? Well, your mom's an Apple Jack, so... All right. I'm good with going to the next one. All right. All right, so my scenario is taking a test. Fortunately, I studied all night for this test, so I think I should be good.
Unfortunately, I did not study for this test, so I will not be okay.
Fortunately, we're talking about me, not you, so it doesn't matter.
Unfortunately, I'm going to be like my friend Mr. Seepley and not take my test.
Fortunately, we're all not communists, we're all not communists like Mr. Seepley was, so it doesn't matter.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to pay for this test on my own, so I'm going to be broke after this.
Fortunately, you just had that big check come out of that big insurance payout that you had, so it's no big deal.
Unfortunately, I had to spend all that money to get new tires on my car.
Fortunately, your old pal Bica said, don't worry about it, he's covering the test for you.
Unfortunately, they're going to kick both me and you out of school because they're going to realize that you paid for my test.
Fortunately, I don't think that matters. As long as they got their money, it doesn't matter. Just don't fail it.
Unfortunately, it does matter because they want more money than we're already giving them.
Fortunately, they're letting you take the test, money or no money, so it's okay.
Unfortunately, I go to Texas Tech University, and that's not the case because they always need money.
Fortunately, you're not at the Texas Tech Health Sciences Center right now because they're completely shut down.
Unfortunately, they are completely shut down, so there are a lot of people not getting a good education.
Fortunately, we're not having to deal with that situation, and you get to take this test and hopefully pass.
Unfortunately, I'm just going to drop out of school because there's no point since I can't get into my email now.
Fortunately, I'll make a crap ton of money and I'll share it with my friend Chris. So it doesn't matter if you're in school or not.
Oh, okay. I don't know what to say to that. All right. Well, we're going to move into our last segment. which is our eclair and not so positive advice. And Micah, what do you got for us this week?
When you down and out, don't give up. So I know this is going to be a goofy little scenario here, but you know, you got to love playing video games and all sorts of stuff like that. One of the ones that I really like playing is college football. Got to love the college football video games. And, you know, a lot of times, especially when I was a kid, I don't know about you, I would rage quit a lot, right? It's like, okay, that team goes up by 21. It's like, yeah, right, that would never happen and whatnot, right? And you would turn it off and you would restart it. And as I've gotten older, I actually, you know, when stuff like that happens, it's like, even if I go and lose, you still play it through and see what happens. And weirdly enough, majority of the time, yeah, they get off to an early lead, but you actually come back and end up winning or almost winning, and you feel that much better about yourself, right? Like, okay, I didn't get blown out. Yeah, I stuck it through and I did what I could. And even if you lose, you're like, you know what? It was a tight loss, but it wasn't like I got blown out, stuff like that. And it's the same thing with life. So many people will start something, like, for instance, a podcast, or they'll start something, you know, going to the gym, start going to a routine. And I'm the world's worst at starting a gym routine and like not following through with it. But what I'm saying is, you start a routine, it doesn't look exactly like you think you were going to, it's going to look, because there's very few situations in life where you step into something and you're automatically winning, right? You're automatically winning and you're automatically ahead and things are just going great. And so most people will throw those things away very, very quickly. Oh yeah, man, I'm down and out. Oh man, I'm sore, or oh man, you know, this is going on and you know, that's not optimal and I can't do that with the rest of the things in life. And what I'm saying is, it's hard to do, but don't give up, because what ends up happening is, if you can power through it and push through it, a lot of times you get a lot of blessings and things. And don't be mistaken if there's a no-win situation to where you're already looking at it like, ooh, I stepped into this job role, or ooh, I stepped into this situation and it's not what I was looking for at all, and it's going to get to the point where basically it's going to harm me or my family. Like, that's totally different. I'm not saying like, yeah, don't be a quitter and stick those situations out. What I'm saying is, there's a lot of times to where we give up too soon before our blessings or before our lessons learned or before anything else. And so if you stick it out, you'll end up learning, or you'll end up having further opportunities because you stuck it out. So, you know, it's always interesting how that goes, but it's always the first instinct of like, oh yeah, man, it's not going 100% great, so I'm going to just drop it. But don't give up.
Yeah, well, I promise you we did not coordinate this, because that was, it's pretty much as long the same lines of what I was going to say. Is just be patient and wait it out. And sometimes in life, like Michael said, you have those things where you just keep taking losses and it just feels like everything is not going the way that you want it to. But if you're patient and you waited it out, I promise that good things are going to come on the other side of it. And when you're in the middle of the storm, sometimes it gets darkest before the dawn, right? And so, like Micah said, like, you don't want to quit right before, like, you're at the finish line. Like, that's one thing the Lord told me a couple weeks ago, is like, don't quit right when you're at the finish line. And so if you're patient and wait, I promise there are so many more blessings on the other side of that. And it's hard to wait, because sometimes you don't know how long you're going to be waiting for. But when you're in the middle of that waiting, it builds character. And there's a lot of times in the Bible the Lord says just to be patient and to wait and to be still. And that's really hard for a lot of us, because we want to do things and we want to fix it and we want to control the situation. And it's like, I'm waiting, but I feel like I should be doing something to fix it. And oftentimes I found, like, when you wait and you finally give up that situation, like, the Lord works it out, because it's like, you know what? Okay, you take your hands off of it now. Now I can do what I can do, and the Lord can do it like that. So just be patient. Wait it out. Like Micah said, don't quit before you're at the finish line, because I promise, like, you may not know, like, you're almost there, and you may be thinking, how much more of this can I take? But you are almost there, so don't give up.
Crazy how we didn't coordinate, but coordinate. So it just seems like somebody out there needed to hear that, so that's cool. And it's always a good, you know, I'm even talking to myself. A lot of times when I tell these eclairs, I'm talking to myself too. I know Chris does too. It's mainly, I mean, anybody out there that talks about personal experience, talks about life and things like that. And, you know, I can speak from personal experience. You know, it's been tough sledding, And it's one of those things to where you kind of sit here and go, where is the relief coming? When is this going to happen? But you know it's on the horizon and you know something's coming. And so, you know, it's also you telling yourself to keep believing and trust the process and things like that too sometimes. And so, but yeah, man, good words of wisdom and advice. But hey, man, we're at to another end of another episode. We're over at the Trash Can Network and Instagram, over on Facebook, over on YouTube. Man, come give us a like, follow, subscribe. We got so much stuff. Over at the Aviator Society on Instagram as well, if you're into all the aviation stuff. You know, we post a lot of that over on Trash Can Network as well. But if you like that, go over to the Aviator Society. We appreciate you over there. And, man, we've had some pretty cool ones. I found some footage. This is not going to mean anything to you and to the non-aviation people on this podcast. But, man, I found some footage of a Saab 340 landing that I captured, like, 12 years ago. And it's not the best footage, but it was like, man, I didn't even realize I took, you know, footage of this back then. So I posted that on Trash Can Network and over on the Aviator Society. So that was kind of cool to see. I don't know. It was one of those little gems of a find of, like, oh, man, I can't believe that I had this. And, you know, I will say this. Thank God for... you know, maybe we won't say this in a few years when we find out some of the stuff they've been doing, but thank God for Google, man, because they had been saving a bunch of photos, videos, and stuff on my Google Drive from like 12, 13, 14 years ago. I didn't keep track of it, but they did, and so it's like that was one of the gems that I found over there, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, go check us out on all the different platforms, and that's pretty much all I got, man.
Yeah, that's awesome, and we are creeping up on the 3-year anniversary of the Donut Box podcast. We just have probably about, I think, 3 more episodes left before we hit the 3-year anniversary. And so coming to an end of season 3 and season 4, we got so many good things for y'all and we're so excited. But I think it's time for the Starship to take us out. I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this is the Donut Box podcast.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart.